Podmoth.
It says you are doing just fine.
Cute.
I've realized that in my life I need a lot of inspirational quotes to help me get going. So the one on my phone says, relax, you will be okay.
Okay.
And this one says you're doing just fine.
So we just need reassurance that we're not going to die at any given moment.
Absolutely.
Got it. Coffee chief.
Yep, that's my life. You know, whatever. Okay. Let me hop into it. I don't know why. I was ready to hop into this. I was like, let's go.
You know where you are. Let's go.
You know what we're doing.
You click, not my problem. Let's start.
Oh my god. Okay. Whew. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to...
If that fucking laptop hits that table, I'm gonna murder you.
And the other thing I noticed is that the candle, for a second, I was like, wait, what? My pot was, like, on fire. But anyway, well, it was on fire. We're gonna rewind that.
Because it's a candle.
That's what it does.
The premise of a candle.
Okay. Alright, I'm gonna do it again. Hello, everyone.
Again, like, I'm not putting the whole thing in there.
Let me do the intro!
We're in good moods today.
I know, for real.
This is not good for anybody listening.
Not at all. Okay. Alright, well, hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Future is Bright. I am Lindsay.
I'm Bridget.
And we are having a day.
I'm nasally. Don't question me about it.
Yes, Bridget has a cold. It is not COVID, so we're just putting that out there. That is not why we took the break, you know.
No, that's not
imagine
why we took
you, like, oh, they're almost like, oh, she's COVID.
She's COVID.
Now, I don't think that's, like, a...
Honestly, even if I did have COVID, like...
Doesn't matter.
We could still do this.
Right. Discord.
Yeah, we figured out
that could work. I'm vaccinated. Not that I would... No offense, I would not come
here. I wouldn't want you to, honestly.
Yeah, I don't think that's how
that works.
Because
you're a hypochondriac to begin with, so I wouldn't... I'd just be like, stay away for at least 3 weeks, because...
I am a hypochondriac. I get that from my mom.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. Okay. So, do we have any news? Not really.
Happy birthday.
Oh, yeah. Happy birthday. It is both of our birthdays within a week. That probably explains a lot about each other.
Oh,
like less than a week.
Probably mostly. We're 4 days apart.
Right.
Wait. 28, no. 29, 30.
31.
No, there's no 31.
Yes, there is. There's 31 days in July.
30 days have September, April, June, and November. No, there's 30. And we're not in July. We're in June.
Oh, fuck. That's why. Shit. I don't know.
29, 30, 1, 2.
3. So 5.
Well, 28. I was born on 28.
Right. You counted this one.
I said 29.
Oh.
26? No.
Oh, so 5. I knew it was
whatever. 28. Whatever. We're like a week apart. We're fine.
Guys, I have to warn you. We're on some shit.
Yeah, right? I don't know what happened between, like, going outside and coming back inside, but...
We are definitely on some shit.
New
but yeah, it is our birthdays. We are 24, which is disgusting.
Yeah, I'm not
absolutely
okay.
Terrible. Hate that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean...
1 year left till a midlife crisis.
I've been having a midlife crisis for 2 years now. So, there's no stopping that.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. Do you have any plans for birthday?
I'm going to the Cheesecake Factory.
That's good. I don't even have that
I'm working.
Plan. Are you on your birthday?
Yeah.
That's sad.
I'll probably leave early, though, but yeah, I'm working.
That's sad. I would have been working, but my birthday's on a Saturday, so...
Yeah, you have a nice...
Yeah.
Your birthday sucks, but it's also nice, because 4th of July is the next day.
I used to like it because we would have, like, family barbecues, but we're not even, like, we're not doing a family barbecue this year because I don't really want one, so I might go to the beach in the morning, but it looks like it might rain.
Really?
I was gonna look to see because yesterday it wouldn't show, 40% chance.
That's only 40, though.
Yeah, that's true.
That's
it
not
could
terrible.
Change. But if it doesn't, if it does rain, then I don't know, I'm probably doing nothing, which is fine by me.
Yeah, I don't really want to do anything on my birthday besides go to the Cheesecake
Factory. Right, again, like, we're 24, so.
Yeah, I don't really care that much.
No. Yeah, no.
I just started to smell that candle, and it smells so good.
I can't smell it, but, like, I never smell candles.
No?
No. When they're burning, not really, unless it's, like, cinnamon. Huh. Yeah, I don't know. Okay. I don't know. Should we explain while we're on a break now?
Yeah.
While we did our break, and then we can hop into that?
Yeah.
Okay. So, we went on break, which was, like, a week, so it really wasn't a break. Like, whatever. But my uncle passed away, so we were relaxing and grieving.
Yeah.
I don't know how to start this. It's so, okay, so
you brought the idea up to me to, like, talk about what Lindsay's uncle had.
Right.
Because it's not, I don't know what it is still.
Right, it's literally.
And, like, I've never heard of it before, and, like, I have medical in my background, and I've never heard of it before.
Yeah, it's pretty rare, my mom and I mainly, and I think most of my family, we made it, like, this, like, thing in our minds that we're gonna try to bring as much awareness to it, and we've always said that, like, we thought about doing, like, you know how, like, they have the walks and stuff? Mm-hmm. Like, we tried to, like, start planning that, but, like, that's, like, a lot of work, so we never ended up, like, actually going through with it. But it's crazy, like, that a lot of people actually, like, there's, like, a big group of people, like, a Facebook group of a lot of people who've had it and, like, who are currently fighting it. So we figured this would be a good platform. Is that
we have a platform, right? And like, use it.
Right. And, like, you're all our friends, so obviously, like, we would want to let you guys in on, like, our lives and whatever. So, yeah, we figured this would be a good opportunity to just bring awareness to what it is.
I thought it was a great idea. So.
Yeah. So my uncle had something called IBM, which is inclusion body mitositis. I'm pulling up my mom wrote me a little note. But it's called, with inclusion body mitositis, there's, like, different types, and he has the one that's polymyositis. So there's five different forms. It's dermatomyositis. Don't know. That one's really hard to pronounce. There's polymyositis. There's necrotizing myopathy. I should have Googled how to say these words. Yeah. There's sporadic inclusion body mitositis, and then juvenile forms of mitosis. So, I keep saying mitosis and myositis. It's the same word. It's just me using it in different.
Well, mitosis is like when you're so.
Yeah, I know. Okay. I think that's why I keep saying it. So it's myositis, and the term mitositis is used to refer to a disease involving chronic inflammation of muscles, often occurring together with other symptoms. So, it's an autoimmune disease where the body's immune system, which normally fights infections and viruses, is misdirected and begins to attack the body's own normal healthy tissue. So it, like, mistakes your healthy muscles for, like, viruses and, like, inflammation.
So, like, your body's attacking itself.
Right, basically, yeah. It's obviously a very, very rare disease. All forms combined affect an estimated 50,000 to 75,000 people in the United States, which I thought was, like, actually
That's kind of a lot.
I never knew, like, I mean, obviously I knew about it because my uncle had it his whole life, but I always knew it as, like, this rare disease, like, so it's a lot of people, but, it's still unclear what the causes of myositis are. Some scientists believe certain individuals have a genetic predisposition to develop an autoimmune disease, which is triggered, by environmental exposure, but they really have no idea, like, what causes it. Hmm.
So is it, like, they don't know if it's genetic or,
right,
like,
they don't really have any idea. I mean, and we know, like, I've never heard of us going through genetic testing to find out if it's something, like, I mean, we honestly never even, like, questioned it, like, if I could possibly have it, and I'll kind of go into, like, what my mom wrote down his story to, like, kind of say, like, what he had and how he, like, developed it, because you normally don't develop it until, like, you're over the age of 50. I mean, my uncle was not over the age of 50. He was 57 when he died. So, like, he had it for 18 years. So, but normally it affects men, although women can be affected. And, obviously, the patients diagnosed with this progress to disability over a period of years. So, it takes its time. But when it does, it goes. Yeah. So the older the age of onset, the faster the loss of strength and mobility. By 15 years, most patients require assistance, with basic needs. Some become wheelchair bound, bedridden. And, this source says that natural history studies, and I put that in quotes because that just sounds weird to me, have not shown reduced lifespans, from this disease, but most clinicians agree that IBM can be an indirect cause of death, mainly due to aspiration pneumonia in patients with difficulty swallowing, which is exactly what my uncle had. Like, at the end, his diaphragm just stopped working, so he, was fighting to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
there's currently no cure for IBM. The primary goal of management is to optimize your muscle strength and function. So basically just doing all these things so that you can keep walking, management includes exercise, fall prevention, physical therapy, occupational therapy, and speech therapy. There's limited evidence that a small proportion of patients may benefit from the drugs that suppress the immune system. So there's really no medicine that you could take for it. You kind of just have to, its prevalence is estimated to be between 10 to 112 people per 1,000 people in the general public get it. So between 10 and 112 out of 1,000 get it, which is actually a lot.
That's like a decent amount. Odds.
Right. We're saying that as if, it's a decent amount for us to not know about it.
For me to have never heard of it before.
There's no evidence, supporting, different things that can help it. And not a lot of people know about it, which is, why a lot of people who have this, it goes undiagnosed for a very long time. Or they get misdiagnosed because the doctors they don't know about it. So they're treating him for one thing. That's what happened to my uncle. He was misdiagnosed. They were treating him for something, and it wasn't that. So he had to take other medicine. And, there's different studies that sometimes could say, the medicine he was taking for one thing affected the other thing, but they're really, you never really know.
Not for sure.
Right. So, I guess to talk about my uncle, his name was Uncle Johnny, that's who he is. He's my Uncle Johnny. So he was put on, medicine for high cholesterol and then started experiencing severe leg pain, which is a side effect of the medicine. So the doctor took him off of that medicine, but his pain never went away. So he was first diagnosed approximately 15, 16 years ago. So, we say, because, you don't really know. So it was, 16 years ago, he was diagnosed with having polymyositis. So, oh, shit.
What?
I said he had polymyositis. He does have polymyositis. He did. That's what he was first diagnosed with.
But that's not what he was diagnosed with first.
Right. But polymyositis is a form of IBM. So, it's technically the same thing, but IBM is a little bit different. Mm-hmm. So 15, 16 years ago, he was diagnosed with polymyositis. And then after 5 years of no changes, nothing getting better, he went to Johns Hopkins in Baltimore, where they performed a biopsy on his muscles, and then they diagnosed him with IBM.
Mm-hmm.
So, basically what this is, because I know we've been talking, pretty much a lot of medical talk, it's essentially a muscle disease where your muscles essentially waste away. So it started out where he, and I literally can see this, it was crazy, throughout my life, he started walking with a cane and then had to go to a walker, and then about 7 or 8 years ago, approximately, not we don't know for sure, he moved on to a wheelchair where he would be able to walk, but if he's walking far, he would use a wheelchair. And then it kind of went to where he couldn't use a wheelchair, like, he couldn't get up at all, he had to use a wheelchair. And then towards the end, it was really just that he couldn't even, like, everything was weakened, so it was hard for him to talk, hard for him to breathe. So, yeah. He lost his fight on January.
Bitch.
Whoa, we're in June.
Yeah, it's okay. J months are hard.
I get it. Wow. Okay. On June 13th. So, yeah. That's what he had.
And he, like, had pneumonia, right?
Right. He went into it for pneumonia, which was because he, like, was laying down, and your body, like, I guess, I don't know for sure if, like, this is exactly, like, the medical, but, like, because he would lay down, and he wouldn't, like, break down the food and things that he was eating, and that caused pneumonia, so they told him he was never gonna be able to lay down again, like, he had to sit straight up, because when he laid down, he couldn't breathe.
Everything, like, settled.
Right.
Like, yeah.
And he couldn't breathe, so he was sitting up, and then he went in for pneumonia and just never came out of it. So, yeah, it was crazy, because it was a fast progression from, like, because we didn't know.
Yeah.
Like, and you don't really know with this stuff. Like, everyone could, like, one day he'll be okay, and, like, he'll be, like, all good, ready to go, and then, like, the next he can't breathe. And it's just, it was the scariest thing for him, not even for, like, us.
And
like,
your aunt.
Yeah, and my aunt. So I think that this is the least I can do to kind of just bring awareness to what he had, because nobody knows what it is. And he struggled for so long and never complained. Like, he never once complained about anything. And, like, that's just how I want to live my life. Like, where I'm, like, I'm not worried about what I'm going on.
Yeah.
I'm just worried about what everyone else is doing and, like, me being in the present with other people.
Yeah, like, now, like, you can't be afraid of dying.
Right.
Yeah.
I just want to live my life with, like, the people that I love. And that's all he wanted to do.
Yeah.
So, I think, I don't know. I just think it'd be cool if just more people knew about it.
Is there any, like websites or stuff?
Yeah, I'm gonna put all the websites that I used on, like, as like another source to this episode, so that even if you guys want to, like, know more about it, you can look it up. There's like one website that's like the IBM, like, website, and has, like, people's stories and stuff like that. I'm not gonna lie, I didn't listen to the stories because I was getting quite sad. Because I, like, these people are, like, doing, I mean, I don't know where they are right now in their lives, but at the time, they were, like, pretty healthy, and, like, it was, like, nothing that I witnessed in my, like, in his last, like, months, I guess you can say.
Yeah.
So I was, like, getting low-key annoyed.
You're like, fuck these people, why are they doing so good with this goddamn disease?
Right. So I was like, you know what, I'm not gonna listen to this, because I don't want to be sad, so.
Fair.
You know, but I'll put that up so you guys can read all about it. And if you guys want to know more about it, I mean, you can always message us. Not that I'm really going to have the answers for you.
No, but, like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you guys want to know more about it, I can Google it for you.
I'll Google it and then send it to you.
I legitimately, it's so hard because no one ever talked. Like, it wasn't like it was something that you don't talk about. But, like, we just didn't worry about it. Like, it's, like, what are we gonna do? There's nothing you could do. There's no cure. Like, we just lived our lives with him, and we enjoyed the time that we had.
Yeah, well, I mean, what else are you gonna do? If, like, it's inevitable, it's inevitable.
Right, and everyone knew it. It wasn't, like, something that nobody knew. It's just, like,
you're not gonna spend, like, every waking moment, like,
worrying about it.
Not just worrying about it, but, like, talking about it or anything.
Right, like, and he never made it, like, as if he was, like, upset that he couldn't do things or, like, and we never made it like, oh, you can't do this because you can't go inside.
Because,
like,
you can't
we
do
would
this.
Just
yeah.
hang out. Like, if he couldn't go inside because there was no ramp, we would just hang out outside. Like,
yeah.
It's not, like, the it's worst thing
deal.
In the world. So, I just think it would be cool if people know more about it.
I agree.
Yeah. So, there you go, guys.
Thanks.
I hope I influenced your knowledge. Is that the right
word?
Yeah,
I think so.
Okay. I also think, whoa, we just had the same thought.
What?
I was gonna move that.
Whoa.
Because I was like, that might be the sound.
All right.
Well.
Thank you for that, because I had nothing.
You're welcome.
I didn't know anything. It kind of sounds like
a little informative.
It kind of sounds like MS.
That's what I tend to, like, tell people who don't really know about it. Like, I tend to say it's like an MS. It's like MS, but it doesn't affect your nerves, it affects your muscles.
Yeah.
So, like, all your muscles stop.
That's what it, like, sounds like, basically.
Right. Although, they say that it doesn't affect your heart, but, like, all things lead to something else.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, yeah. But, yeah, that's, you know, so I hope I influenced your minds on behalf of my uncle, who literally, I don't think he even knew about this podcast.
He does now. Because,
right. He's probably like, why the fuck did you never tell me?
He's probably, like, literally looking at us right now being like, this is stupid. Yeah. Like, why are you
doing
this?
Oh, no, he would love it. Anything that any of us did was,
he was like,
yeah.
The best thing ever.
But, like, also, you have to think about it. We started this in the middle of COVID, and yeah. I for sure wasn't seeing him then because he was extremely immunocompromised, so, like, I'm not gonna see him then.
Not risking that.
Right. The only time I saw him was, like, when he was in the hospital, so, like, there's no, I wasn't talking to
there
him
There would
have
been no
it.
Way,
like,
yeah.
we Zoomed every couple, like, holidays and stuff like that, but, yeah. like, I never mentioned the podcast because it just didn't come up.
Yeah.
But
well,
now
he's listening. Well, now his ears are definitely ringing because we just talked about him for 20
minutes.
Right,
exactly.
So.
Oh, wow, that was 20 minutes?
Yeah.
It's going to be a long-ass episode.
That's fine. It's important, so it doesn't matter.
That's true. That is very true. My case is literally quite long, so we're going to buckle. Am I doing my case this episode?
Yeah.
This one's all going to be about me?
Yeah. You're the star of the show, baby.
All right, so I am talking about the disappearance of Lauren Spear just recently. I mean, it's probably going to be a month from, like, when this episode comes out, but it was her 10 years since she went missing. So, yeah, I'm talking about Lauren Spear.
Like Britney Spears.
Yeah, I don't know why I can't say her name, but whatever. She was born on January 17th, 1991. To Charlene and Robert Spear. She grew up in Scarsdale, New York, which is a affluent town in Westchester County. She graduated from Edgemont High in 2009 and enrolled at Indiana University, where she was studying textile merchandising, which is pretty cool.
That's fun.
Like, yeah, fashion. She was active in the Jewish community at IU and spent previous spring breaks planting trees and being, like, with people of the Jewish National Fund.
All I could just think about was, like, oh, just all Jews plant trees, don't they?
And it says, oh, sorry, that's because I forgot to say she was planting trees in Israel. I forgot to finish the sentence. Oh my god.
Wait, so they went to Israel to
right,
plant
she,
the trees?
Yeah.
They were, like, planting them in their
they
home.
They weren't planting trees in Indiana or anywhere.
They were, like, contributing to the forest.
I actually, one year for Christmas, as a side note story, my uncle got me an Arbor Day foundation.
Arbor Day.
Yes, but his main joke is that he doesn't know how to tell the three of us apart, me and my two sisters, so he calls me Hoosier Face. So the entire Arbor Day club and, like, getting tons of trees, everything that came in the mail was Hoosier Face. Like, he said Hoosier Face and then my last name. Like, every single piece of mail.
Wait, that's so funny.
Yep, and he still calls me that to this day, and that was, like, years ago.
Hoosier Face right.
Yep, that's what he said.
That's so funny.
Everyone, and, like, every piece of mail, I got stamps that said Hoosier Face Rainbows on it, with my address. Like, and he just did it because he didn't know my name, or, like, he wanted to stick up with the joke.
That is so funny.
Yeah. But anyway, I was a part of a tree.
Arbor Day.
Right, okay. That's where we went with that one.
Went from planting trees in Israel to Arbor
right.
Day.
So, this story talks a lot about Lauren, and also her boyfriend, whose name was Jesse Wolf.
Did he do it?
I don't know. There's different types of
theories. This is one of your
theories.
Fucking unsolved
Well, she, yeah,
bullshit.
She's still missing, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay.
And her friend, Jay Rosenbaum, was also pretty involved in this case and, like, investigations, all that stuff. So, she met them earlier years earlier at a camp. She disappeared on Friday, June 3rd, 2011. she was drinking with several of her friends that night, and she kind of was very extremely intoxicated, and just, it went from there, from her drinking. Okay. And I have the entire timeline of, like, her going missing, like, literally from 12:30 a.m. June 3rd to, like, August. So we're
holy shit.
We're going to jump right in.
Okay, then.
So on 12:30 a.m. on June 3rd, Lauren was dressed in a white tank top, white blouse, and black pants. She left her apartment, which was in the Smallwood Plaza, which was obviously in Indiana, because she was, like, I think she was a junior, if I remember. Yeah, she was a junior. At Indiana University.
College.
In college. Yeah, okay. Yeah, sorry. So she left her apartment building and went out for a night in the town. She was accompanied by David Rowan, who was another IU student from her building. Might not have said Rowan correctly. It's R-O-H-N. I would say Rowan. Okay. So they go to 5 North Townhomes, which is another apartment complex or townhome complex, a few blocks away from her house, from her apartment, to hang out with some friends who live there. David Rowan was from Manhattan. He attended, like, a bunch of crazy good schools in the city. Mm-hmm. His attorney, Ron Chapman, confirms that this is, like, me just saying, like, who these key characters were at, like, after they're brought up, so we know.
Yeah.
So his attorney confirmed that he did leave the Smallwood apartments with Lauren, and surveillance footage shows him returning at about 12:30, and remains there until 11 a.m. So, like, they kind of, like, were crossing paths, okay, type of thing. Whatever, FBI administered a polygraph, and he was cleared. At 1:46 a.m., Lauren is seen entering Kilroy's Sports Bar. Now, Kilroy's Sports Bar had 2 levels. It was with multiple bars within the bar.
Fancy.
There was hella loud, well, they say throbbing music, but to me, that means hella loud
just,
music.
Like, fucking obnoxious music,
right,
yeah.
Right, and a large patio. It was located at 8th and Walnut Street.
Walnut Street? That's fucking
sick. And it frequented, obviously, IU students, so it was a college bar, and, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she was at that bar. At 2:27 a.m., so less than an hour later, she is seen exiting the bar with Rossman, who is another one of her friends.
Okay.
At the bar, she left her cell phone and shoes at the bar. She had taken off her shoes when she walked in. She walked out onto the sand-covered patio, so that makes sense why she... I mean, she was also severely intoxicated, so that's why she didn't pick her shoes back up.
Yeah.
And her phone, she just left it at the bar. Rossman then walks Lauren back to her apartment complex. Well, they were heading towards her apartment complex.
Yeah.
At 2:30 a.m., so just 2 minutes later... They walk 2 blocks from the sports bar. They arrive at the Smallwood apartment. There, she and her and a companion, which is later revealed as Corey Rossman. Okay, so they take an elevator to the fifth floor, which is where her apartment was.
Mm-hmm.
But before they can get into her apartment, somebody hits Corey in the face. So the story is he gets into a little altercation with someone. So, he gets punched in the face because one of her neighbors, or, like, one of her friends, is, like, passing by and, like, asks her if she's okay because she seems, like, a little wobbly and, like, you know, drunk. So, the guy, like, Corey goes, oh, no, I got her. Like, I'll take care of her. And, like, something ensued, and they got into an altercation, and the guy punched him in the face.
Okay.
Corey claims that he... confirms that he was with Lauren, but couldn't remember what happened after the punch. So the punch made him forget everything.
Okay.
Attorney said that, like, stated that to TV reporters. They say, he says that his client, quote unquote, might have sustained a concussion from the blow. He confirmed that he was with Lauren, but he couldn't remember why the fight happened or much of what occurred afterwards. who assaulted him and why became fertile grounds for conjecture. So, like, they use that as his opportunity to be like, hey, I don't know what happened. This is why I don't know. He was
being a little bitch.
Right. Yeah. the attacker's identity was, like, kind of left unknown because, like, I don't think it really was an attack. It was, like, they just got into a fight.
Yeah.
Like, whatever. Yeah. So then at 2:48 a.m., she left the apartments. She entered an alley that runs between College Avenue and Morton Street, which is, like, right by her apartment complex. Mm-hmm. Security cameras mounted on the nearby apartments show her exiting the alley at 2:51 and walking toward an empty lot. Her keys and purse were found along this route in the alley. And then Spearman and Rossman, so she's still with Corey at this time, but in the alley she was by herself, so he, like, must have been waiting for her.
Okay.
Or drunk. I don't know.
Who's to say?
Spearman and Rossman arrived at Rossman's apartment afterwards, so they went to... You know what I noticed? What? I use my hands an awful lot when I talk.
Me fucking too, yeah. Down the club.
I think it's an Italian thing.
Yeah, it is.
Are you Italian? Yeah, duh. Okay, sorry, stupid question. so they arrive at his apartment shortly after, and his roommate was at the apartment, obviously, because he lived there. Corey himself was intoxicated and stumbling. He vomited on the carpet on the way up to the stairs.
Sweet.
Yeah. Michael Beth, which is his roommate, stated that he escorted Rossman to his bed. He then tried to persuade Lauren to sleep over for her own safety. He claimed that Lauren said she wanted to return to her own apartment. Which is kind of sketchy, because she goes from her apartment, then goes into some alleyway, goes to his apartment just to walk back to her apartment. Just to be like,
wait, I want
to
go home.
Right, which I understand because she was drunk, so, like, you're not really, like, clearly thinking. But, I don't know, it seemed a little sketchy to me. At 3:30 a.m., Beth then stated that he phoned his neighbor, which is the Rosenbaum,
okay,
which we talked about before, wanting him to take care of Lauren, which makes sense because they were friends beforehand. Like,
yeah.
So, Beth said that Lauren was attempting to get Beth to drink with her at her own apartment.
I know this case.
Do you?
Now it sounds familiar. Yeah.
She eventually went to Rosenbaum's apartment, where he observed a bruise under her eye, presumably sustained from a fall early in the evening. She told him that she didn't know how she got the bruise. And then two calls were placed from Rosenbaum's phone shortly after she had left. So, she's reported to have left his apartment, but Rosenbaum said that Lauren placed both of the calls. One to her friend, John Rowan. I think his first name was John, right? David.
This close.
I hate that, like, all my sources use last names.
I always change it to first names.
Yeah, I can't. I don't know why. I just... Whatever. So, one was to David and one to another friend, but neither of the friends picked up and no messages were left. So, she kind of was just calling people to, like, see, hey, who wants to hang out?
Yeah.
According to... This is, like, a side note story. According to one bar manager's account, so as she's, like, walking back to her apartment... A quote-unquote mystery man throws an intoxicated woman matching Lauren's description over his shoulder near 10th Street and College Avenue.
Okay.
The subject, this, like, mystery man is the subject of a report originally posted by a blogger and was repeated to mainstream outlets. Because at this time, it was, like, all over the news. Not, like... right now, because she wasn't reported missing, but, like, after the fact, it, like, just fits in the timeline. They, like, people were going crazy over it because they were like, oh my god, this is someone who saw her. Investigators looked into the bar manager's account, but couldn't find video evidence to support the timeline. John Cutter, who was a private investigator hired by Lauren's parents, told the media that his team interviewed the same witnesses, and he believes the woman described was Lauren, but he isn't sure the timeline is accurate. So it's not really, like, known that, like, this actually was her.
Okay. So it could have been anybody.
Right. It is confirmed that she did call David because he did confirm that he received a call from her but didn't answer. The Journal of News New York, which is another media outlet, reported that an unconfirmed account from Lauren's roommate, whose name was Hadar Tamir, claims that Jason Rosenbaum told her that Lauren used his phone to call David because Lauren couldn't locate her own device, which makes sense because her phone was left in the bar.
Right.
Tamir made frequent appearances in the media pretty soon after after Lauren's disappearance, and in absence of details from authorities, she became a popular source of information for reporters. But as public scrutiny of the case intensified, she withdrew from the spotlight. Okay.
Alright.
She just, you know.
Sounds pretty good to me.
So, Rosenbaum lived two doors away from the apartment that she was first at, like, with, Michael Beth.
Mm-hmm.
He said he can confirm that she called David at 4:15 a.m. and he didn't answer, but he says he can confirm that the call was made, but not who made it.
Okay.
So, like, could have been him, could have been somebody else.
Yeah.
But at 4:30 a.m., Rosenbaum reports that Lauren left the apartment. This is the last reported sighting of her. He last reported seeing Lauren at the intersection of 11th Street and College Avenue, headed south on College. She was seen barefoot, wearing black leggings and a white shirt, which matches the original description going forward.
Mm-hmm.
4:30 a.m. is when a homeless man reports hearing a woman scream just west of where Lauren was last seen. Rumors began circulating about this scream shortly after she, her news broke of her being missing.
Mm-hmm.
A reporter from the Bloomington Herald-Times later looked into the claim, but it's not clear that if police even ran down. Because, I mean, honestly, how are you going to run down, like, a person screaming in the middle of the night?
Yeah, there's...
Like, it's pretty hard.
What are you going to do, like...
Right. okay. So then on June 3rd, early afternoon, so this is now, like, 12 hours, I would say, after she was last seen, because it's early afternoon, Spearman's boyfriend, Jesse Wolf, finally making the realization...
Hello.
Like, he tries calling her repeatedly, like, trying to reach out to her. He might have been doing it, like, all morning. I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. But at this time, early afternoon, is when an employee at the sports bar finally picks up the phone to let him know that the phone was left there.
Okay, yeah.
So, like...
Oh, yeah, I forgot she left it in the bar.
Right.
So he was calling nobody
right,
anyway.
Right.
Okay,
yeah. Right. So then, Her roommate. I did really good at pronouncing her name at first, but no.
Yeah.
Her roommate told a media outlet that Wolf then met with her on campus to retrieve a key to, like, her apartment to go look for her.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse Wolf. We're gonna talk about Jesse Wolf now. I, like, get excited from the little things that I find in my notes.
I forget that I wrote.
He was an Indiana University student from Port Washington, New York.
Wait, this is her...
Her boyfriend.
Whoa, wait.
Yeah, that's why I was like, cool.
her boyfriend, right?
Yeah, her boyfriend.
Okay.
He lived in a house just north of campus, and according to a friend interviewed by Fox 59 News, he spent the night at home and turned in at around 2:30 a.m. On June 3rd, 4:30 p.m., so this is now, like, pretty much 12 hours after,
yeah.
Friends of Lauren finally report her missing to the Bloomington Police Department. So,
okay.
Took them long enough. Her parents then soon arrive to Bloomington, where they will stay until August. So they're there for the long run. They're, even now, like, 10 years later, like, her mom is still writing on the Facebook page, like, still, like, trying to find their daughter. Okay. So now we're going to fast forward a little bit to June 7th, 2011. At a press conference at the Bloomington Police Headquarters, Lieutenant Bill Parker says, quote, "When somebody at 4:30 in the morning, no shoes, and has earlier been drinking, goes out and they just disappear off a street corner, we feel like there certainly could be foul play involved." End quote. Later that evening, police bring a search warrant to the Smallwood buildings for surveillance footage, and finding the door to the security office to be locked, they break down the battering ram.
Fuck it.
Pretty good. Also, wait, sorry, side note. How silent is my computer?
I haven't heard a peep. Yeah.
Shout out to Eric for helping me out. Eric was literally. Because.
Yeah, not for helping you out, for helping me out. So that I don't have to edit out the sounds that your laptop is making.
I literally was just thinking, I was like, wow, I don't even hear it.
I haven't heard it one time.
That's crazy.
Not once.
Okay. Moving on.
I guess those 50 things that were on there that didn't need to be.
I think he said like 500. Andrew sent me a picture. It was like. List
took
things.
A toll.
Yeah, whatever. You know, I blame the podcast because it ever since I downloaded the thing to that's when I started having all those issues. So anyway, on June 8th, 2011, dyslexia.
It's fine.
The Bloomington police, acting on an anonymous and quote unquote very specific tip, send a dive team to search Lake Monroe, which is a little bit south of Bloomington, near the Four Winds Resorts and Marina, but the dive turns up nothing. And then on June 9th, Lieutenant Parker confirms that the police have a, quote, person of interest in the case, but they will not reveal who they are.
Sick. Love
that. Yep. On June 13th, 2011, a reporter at a press conference asks a Bloomington Police Department spokesperson if the department has heard rumors that Lauren might have died from a drug overdose and that fellow students might have panicked and disposed of her body.
Fair.
He said, and I quote, "Have we heard information along those lines?" He replies, "Absolutely." End quote. The theory is amplified by her parents in an earlier announcement that they made, stating that their daughter had a long QT syndrome, which is a rare heart condition. Sorry, I'm reading it. That's actually a quote. I'm not going to say that. I didn't say that. It was a quote that his parent, that the lieutenant was saying, so she had a heart, sorry, I'm, like, thrown off because I didn't, whatever. She had a heart condition, but Robert Spear, which is her dad, says she was certainly susceptible to something bad happening in the event that she was given some sort of drug.
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously, her heart was going to act funky.
If it was compromised, basically.
So, now we're fast-forwarding to August of 2011. Police conducted a 9-day search of the Sycamore Ridge Landfill in Pimento, which is south of Terre Haute. If I pronounced that wrong, I'm sorry. For clues in the disappearance, the landfill is where trash from the Bloomington, where trash is from Bloomington is hauled after a stop at a transfer station.
Mm-hmm.
The Bloomington Police Department and the Indiana University Police Department and the FBI took part in the search. On September 3rd, 2011, Charlene, which is her mom, posts an open letter to whoever might be responsible for her daughter's disappearance on their blog. And it says, and I quote, "Do you think this is a game? This is no game. We are in this for the long haul. Do you think we're going to walk away without finding out answers? Do you think we're going to rest until we find Lauren? We will not." End quote. And shit. She for sure.
She fucking meant right. That yeah, shit.
10 years later, and she was like,
"Bro, do you think this is a fucking right. game?"
And she actually, they're actually, I don't know if I put this in my notes, I'm pretty sure I did, but she actually sued the two friends that were with her for most of the night.
For like negligence?
For negligence. And I believe she, if I don't put this in my notes, we'll update it, but I'm pretty sure she didn't win the case.
Yeah, there'd be no reason for her to win. But,
yeah.
I don't, like, girls gotta try. Right. That's all I'm saying.
Right. So then, November 2011, there was a release asserting that Rosenbaum provided full statements to authorities, allowed a search of his home, agreed to a DNA test, and took a polygraph test. He was also one of the detectives was also able to have a sit down with Rosenbaum and Lauren's parents.
Mm-hmm.
And the detective says, quote, he was pretty frank with them. Some of it, they admitted, they may not want to hear, but they've been pretty realistic, I think. They're just kind of like, want to know what's wrong.
Yeah.
Robert Spurr tells IM, which is like a news media outlet, that they've met with two of the boys, Jay and Jesse. One of the other boys flat out refuses to speak with us or to private investigators, and that's Corey Rossman. So Corey says no, but Rosenbaum, which is Jay, like, wants nothing
Isn't
to do
with David?
It. No, David is Rowan.
Oh, there's a lot of R's.
There's
happening.
A lot of boys.
Jesus Christ.
She, you know. Good for her. So then.
Can't relate.
Yeah. Can't. So then in April of 2015, the Bloomington Police Department announced that they were investigating a possible link between Lauren's disappearance and the murder of another IU student, which was Hannah Wilson. Wilson went missing on April 24th, 2015, after visiting the same bar. Wilson was last seen getting into a taxi in front of the bar and then driving away. Her body was found the next morning in Brown County. A local man named Daniel Messel was arrested for her murder after his cell phone was discovered near her body. So, just bad timing for him.
Did he do it?
Yeah, he was convicted.
Oh, so he's just stupid for leaving his cell phone.
Right. But in July of 2015, they concluded that the two cases are unrelated, even though
they aren't.
Yeah, it's just coincidental, basically. On January 28th, 2016, the FBI and other police agencies investigating this disappearance investigated a property on the 2900 block of Old Morgantown Road in Martinsville, which is 20 miles north of Bloomington. According to a statement released by the FBI, investigators were, quote, following up on leads and tips in Morgan County regarding the disappearance of Lauren Spurr,
mm-hmm.
end quote. The property was connected to a man named Justin Waggers, who resided there with his mother and stepfather. And Justin was just suspected of exposing himself to numerous other women.
Alrighty then.
They searched the property with cadaver dogs and indicated which could have been potential evidence. Anthropologists conducted a dig and sifted through dirt where the cadaver dogs hit, but found nothing. Despite police reportedly removing a 2-door white Dodge Dakota sport truck with front-end damage and a blue camper shell from the property, no arrests were made, and no one ever documented. The police never documented their findings.
Hmm.
I mean, commented, not documented, sorry.
Yeah.
In 2017, a Brown County prosecutor named Ted Adams said he believes that Daniel Messel, who was, again, convicted of the murder of Hannah Wilson, he believes he may be responsible for Lauren's disappearance, but the Bloomington police have not said whether he was a suspect in the case.
Hmm.
And that is it. We still don't know where she is. So.
Cool.
Yeah. There's,
that's just, like, really, like, yeah. Gone.
Yeah, like, disappeared. there's, like, obviously stories about, like, a lot of different theories. Most of them are saying the drug theory where,
like, she took drugs.
Either a drug deal gone wrong, or those two men who, like, there's different sources said that they might have been involved in drugs, or, mm-hmm. like, drug dealers, like, they don't really say it, but I got it from Reddit, so, like, let's just take that where we can.
Yeah.
the grain of salt. That's why I didn't really include it in there. But, like, a lot of, some people say that it could have been a drug deal. Or she overdosed and they were scared.
I don't know if I support the drug deal just because, like, I think she was so fucking wasted that right. she... Whoa. What did she call a drug?
Right.
Her drug dealer?
Well, she couldn't. She didn't have a phone.
But that's what I'm saying. Right. Like,
I think I can't support that either because I think if it was no, I can't comprehend the not finding the body, and I can't comprehend that in any sort of case.
Yeah.
Like to me, well, that didn't you blows say that, my mind.
Didn't you say that somewhere led to like a landfill though?
Yeah, but nothing was ever found.
Yeah, but like, do you know how big landfills are?
You're right. I don't know, it blows my mind that, like, her body has never been... Do I think that maybe something could have happened with her being drunk and her friends were so scared that they, like, just got rid of her body? Possibly, but, like, then that would have been an accident. So why wouldn't you just...
Yeah, it would have been an accident, and I feel like even if, like, they did get scared, like...
Right.
Like, I don't think those people were gonna be, like, murderers or, like, they... picked up murdering.
Right.
So I feel like a body would have been found if, like...
Right. I can't comprehend.
Yeah.
Like, I'm also gonna talk about the, court suit. The lawsuit. Because I just looked it up because I didn't put it in my notes.
Oh, the... With her suing the
yes.
kids.
Her parents sued Corey Rossman, Jay Rosenbaum, and Michael Beth, all three of men who were... seen with her the night before. The suit alleges that all three men supplied her with alcohol after she was already visibly intoxicated, and then failed to see that Lauren returned safely to her apartment, which led to her injury and likely death. So they're thinking that she somehow, something happened.
Yeah, but I mean, like, it's not their responsibility to make sure that right. she gets home okay. Like, is it being a shitty friend? Yeah.
Right.
But, like, it's
right.
not their responsibility.
Right. The suit also claims that Beth saw Lauren extremely intoxicated and witnessed Rossman encourage Lauren to join him. So, like, okay.
Yeah, but I mean, again, like, is it gross and, like, being a bad friend?
Right.
Yes, but is it, like, something that doesn't happen every single day at every given right. bar in America?
Right.
And people don't, those people don't go missing.
Right.
Well, they could, but, like, right. most of those people don't go missing. Right. Like,
a suit was filed with the circuit court just days before the expiration of the statute of limitations.
Mm-hmm.
And it was moved to federal courts because all three parties in the suit, or all four of them, are from different states.
Ah,
so,
that's interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, because it was a college, so.
Right.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I don't think the court case is still going on, but I can't find anywhere off the top of my notes, like, or my Google searches.
like, results.
Right, results. Because I'm doing it right now because I didn't think it was, like, not that it wasn't important. I thought it was interesting, but I wanted to focus more on the timeline.
Yeah.
Of, like, how she went missing. Sorry. So I just found an article from 2015. That says, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Seventh Circuit in Chicago said Judge Tanya Walton Pratt was right to dismiss the case because Lauren's parents failed to prove that either Jason or Corey had a duty to care for their daughter.
So, it got thrown out.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, well, that makes yeah. sense.
She was a very beautiful young girl. And I'm quite sad about it because...
I don't look real.
Oh, yeah, I'm showing you pictures right now. I can even show you...
Oh, yeah.
This is her... This is her, like, most known picture because it's, like, the missing poster.
I think... It looks familiar, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, you probably saw it more recently just because...
Like, 10 years.
I just noticed to see... I saw it coming out more recently and I actually looked it up, like, more recently because of the 10-year... anniversary.
Yeah.
I guess you can call it an anniversary, even though it's, like,
quite it's a sad. Weird thing to call it, but, yeah.
Right. There's also been, like, different, like, you know how there's always, like, skeptical stuff?
Yeah.
There's this white truck that's seen on footage, like, passing by.
Okay.
And it kind of looks like there's a person in the back. kind of. But, like, that could also just be work things.
Could be literally anything on the planet.
Right. So, yeah. That's all I got for you guys.
That's interesting. These ones piss. I hate that you do these.
I know.
They piss me off so much.
I don't know why I do them. Like,
you like them. Like,
I do.
But, like, and I like them also, but it's just, like, it's so sad. Unsatisfying. Yeah. Not that, like, anything that we talk about is satisfying, but, like, when somebody gets put in jail, it's like, yeah, fuck you, like, you deserve that.
Right, yeah.
And it's like, there's nothing.
Nothing. I would love to see the footage, like, of her walking, because for some reason I want to see how, like if she was really that drunk.
I'm sure she was. Because, like,
I'm sure. She looks happy as ever on this video.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. She's a college kid at a bar. Yeah, I mean, like, I'm sure she was fucking inebriated.
Oh, yeah. Which, no one's, like, stopping her for that.
No, nobody's, like, blaming her for that at all. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
If I could get inebriated right now, I would. But my stomach hurts, so I can't.
Yeah, Bridget gets inebriated easily, so.
Takes one margarita, baby. I'm a cheap date, let me tell you.
Oh my god. Okay, well, that was my case for you guys this week.
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to me and also listening to me ramble about the inclusion body mastitis.
Yeah, we're gonna leave links, and I think we should find, like, a website where, like, if people, like, want to donate to research.
I have that because that's what we, like, did, like, instead of flowers type of stuff. Because it's, yeah, it's, like, it's going to be, like, the Johns Hopkins, I'm pretty sure.
Because like, if it's not, like, well-known, like, there should be research done on it. So.
Right, yeah, and I don't think there really is much.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of doctors even were just, like, well, like, it was, like, so crazy. Like, this could be off the podcast because, like, who wants to talk about death? But, like, even the doctors were like, okay, like, well, we'll see how he does. Like, they literally just didn't have no idea. And I was like, this is so weird. Like,
yeah.
I've never once had a doctor be like, yeah, well, either way it goes, I really wish well for him. Like, it's literally what the doctor said. Yeah. And I was like, oh, that's so crazy.
Well, that was, like, not to bring, like, this person up, but when Tim got put in the hospital for the Guillain-Barré, he went to the hospital twice before they figured out what it was, right, because they had no idea because it's such, like, a rare thing. Yeah. And I never heard of it before that.
I've never heard of it either.
And that was fucking scary, too.
Yeah, I remember that.
That was fucking really scary.
Yeah.
So, like, I could, like, just, like, it's, like, the not knowing, like,
right.
Even, like, where it comes from and, like, right, why you get it. Why it happens. Like, crazy.
And that's the thing, like, they don't really know why it happens. They're like, oh, it could be genetic, but, like, who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's creepy.
I feel like something that, like, your body attacking itself is, like, it's always, like, it's, like, a mutation. Like, right. it has to be genetic.
Right.
Like,
in your genes. Yeah, it has to be. I think that's why, like, you can't even get tested for it, though. To, like, know if you have the genetic makeup, because, like, they don't know what the genetic makeup is.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
They don't know if it's, like, hereditary.
Right. No, they have no idea.
That's so weird.
I don't think so, at least. Like, we have never heard about it, like, being hereditary, and no one told us, like, you should go get tested. Like, so I don't think, but I don't know.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so thank you everyone for listening. We are back and better than ever.
Yeah, baby.
We're, kicking along here.
Yeah, nothing bad detrimental has happened, this week so far.
We don't have any more news, right?
No.
Okay, well, hit us up on Instagram.
FIB Podcast.
Follow us on Facebook.
Future is Bright Pod.
Send us a Gmail.
futuresbrightpod@gmail.com.
And we'll catch you guys on the flip side.
Make sure you check out the links in our,
little description
for the...
Yes, I'll even post a cute picture of me and my uncle.
Please
on
do.
On Instagram.
Do
so
it.
That you guys can...
Absolutely.
See what I'm talking about. See who I'm talking about.
Absolutely.
You know? All right. Sounds good. Peace out.
Bye.